Blog Talk Radio.
One of the most difficult things to do is find yourself in a storm. And while in that storm, it seems like everyone who you thought you could count on has walked away. And sometimes it seems like even God himself has forgotten about you. But in spite of that, to still be able to lift your hands and say, Lord, I trust you.
Trying to convince you that there's no way you can make it out, and he says you're not going to be able to get out of this situation. But I wish somebody would make the devil out of a lie right now and lift your hands and say, God, I will trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to show up, but God, I know you're going to do it. God, I know you're going to bring me out. Come on, if that's you, come on, lift your voice and say, I will. Oh, that's right, I'll trust you. Hallelujah. Oh God, I don't know when the pains go in, but I know, God, you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. So I trust you in spite of what I see, in spite of what I'm going through. I trust you. God, you've never left me. I know you love me. That's why I trust you. Come on, why you take it up? I had my heart broken. I made some mistakes. God, you still kept me. Oh, God, you're faithful. You see what
Hello. Thanks, everyone. Good evening, and welcome to God's Great Love for Us with Bishop Carver and Pastor Vanessa Carver. We are here tonight doing the second installation of Trusting God as a Form of Worship. This is our second installation. And you know, what a wonderful song to start with. But also we are going to, which is a song of praise, but we're also going to start with a prayer as well. Now keep in mind, this is the second watch, which is from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. And we just want you to know that we're exposing the enemy's plans tonight as we begin to teach this. But we also want you to be thankful. And even that song, Trusting God or I Will Trust You, is a petition for divine intervention tonight, as the enemy is trying to come against the plans of God over your life. So, Father God, we just thank you right now. We lift you up and we praise you. And we thank you for this day, for you are great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Lord, today that you are the lifter up of our heads. And we thank you, Lord, today that because of what we're going to teach tonight about trusting you, no matter what it looks like or not, no matter what we're going through, we thank you, Lord, today for the outcome. We thank you that those who are listening will be blessed. You thank you, Lord, today that those there will be an intervention in their life, not just for what they need today, but as it pertains to their relationship with you and how they serve. We thank you, Father God, today as we expose the enemy's plans, how he gets people in a place where they don't trust you, where they doubt you, and they even are fearful. And we just thank you, Lord, today that every heart and soul that's listening globally, even those who will listen to the archives, will be blessed and be able to give your name praise and glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So we came up with this series, first of all, because my husband and I have a lot of conversations, and this came up as we think about our shows or even when we share just everyday life and talking about, do you believe God or do you trust God? And I said, I believe by the time, if you truly are a disciple versus just a believer or maybe or even an unbeliever, you're not necessarily trusting God as an unbeliever, but when you begin to trust him as a servant leader and as a disciple, that's a whole different place. And it does feel like worship because of the level of sacrifice. As you know, true worship usually does involve sacrifice. But first, we want to start with scripture and what does scripture say in verses. I'm going to start in John 4. Where Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. And in John 4, verses, let's see, I'm going to start reading. It's a Samaritan woman, actually. It starts at verse 7, but I'm going to start at verse 15. As he's talking to the woman, he's going to give her some revelation. And this is where we're going to start our teaching and expounding upon why trust has to be or really is an expression of worship to God. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water," because Jesus had just told her about the water that she can drink, that she will never thirst, and so that I will not thirst nor have to continually come all the way here to draw. At this, Jesus said, "Go, call your husband and come back." And the woman answered, "I do not have a husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, I do not have a husband. For you have had five husbands, and the man you are now living with is not your husband. You have said it truthfully." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see you are a prophet, and our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews say that the place where one ought to worship is in Jerusalem at the temple." So Jesus replied, and I want you to key in on the next couple of verses. Jesus replied, "Woman, believe me, a time is coming when God's kingdom, when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not know what you worship. We Jews do know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews. The time is coming and is already here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit, from the heart, the inner self, and in truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. God is spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And that was verse 15 through 24 of John 4. Now, we start here because this got my attention as I was going looking at different verses about trusting God, is because this is, to me, is about worshiping and trusting God. It's about how do we, when we recognize who he really is, how that is a form of trust. And it is knowing him based on who he is. It says, worship him in spirit and in truth. So by the time that we begin to worship him in spirit and truth, it is a demonstration, really, of our relationship with God. And I believe that you can't really trust God and have a relationship with him. That trust has to be there, even if it's in its infant stages. It has to be there because it helps you be able to what? Worship. Another thing, I thought of Romans, you know how Paul was talking to the church of Romans in Romans 12 and 1, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, which is the ESV version. And they were about to go through some things, and they had to be ready to totally live a solvent life that had to do with their total dedication and leaning upon God for everything, for who, for their assignment, for what they were supposed to be doing and how they were supposed to be doing, even the opposition and persecution that the church experienced. And he was saying, you know, I appeal to you by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Keep in mind, like I said earlier, that sacrifice and worship go together, and worship and trusting God is worship. When we begin to trust God at higher levels, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, we will find that levels of trust is also something that we need to be aware of. Don't let the enemy tonight, remember, we are exposing his plans. Don't let him talk you into thinking you don't believe God or trust God because of what you're looking at on the outside. Especially if you're just a believer, you may be in the infant stages of understanding what it is to really trust God. And I want Pastor Bishop Carver to expound upon that any way he sees fit as it pertains to trusting God in different levels.
Thank you, Pastor Carver. And, you know, here at the Spirit Alive Network, we are committed to being the transformation station so that the word that you get allows you to be transformed as you renew your mind to that word. And part of the way that we trust God and we show God that we trust God is that we replace what we feel, what we see, what we hear, what we believe with what the Word of God says. That's what it means to renew your mind to the Word. When Pastor Carver was speaking, I was thinking about the verse in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, where it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. See, keeping your mind stayed on God is what allows us to be kept by God in perfect peace. And our trust in God gives him permission to keep us in perfect peace. And how we exhibit that trust, being our mind stayed on him, on God, and not the circumstances, not what people think, not what people say, not what we believe, not what it feels like, not what the bank balance is, but on what God's word says, so that when we keep our mind stayed on God's word, which he magnified above his name, that's how much God stands behind his own word. So when we trust in his word, he keeps us in perfect peace because we trust in him. And see, our trust yields us dividends that go way beyond measure. So I'd like for Pastor Carver just to comment on her thoughts on this.
Well, the dividends, like you said, that's true. You don't realize that once you get through all the distraction and all the things, your thoughts, like he said, renewing your mind to the word only. Don't look at what's going on around you. Don't look at what somebody said. Don't even listen to what's going on inside your head. And that takes practice and that takes intent. But, you know, the dividends do have a lot to do with relationship. I think it's like intimacy is one of the dividends that I can think of when it comes to God in a place of worship. Because you get so close to him and you trust him no matter what you're looking at, just like in Isaiah that you said, because you he trusts in you. That's why a person can have perfect peace. One of the things that a lot of times when I'm in a place where I don't have any peace, for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit will bring this scripture to me, and I'll be like, yeah, yeah, I know that scripture. You keep in mind perfect peace. He said, because he trusts in you. You don't trust me where you are right now, or you're looking at something else, and you're trusting that, or the outcome of that, or the absence of that, or the presence of something, instead of trusting God. So you can have some peace. And it's that simple. It really is. So these scriptures are not, we've heard them, most of us have heard them so many times and taught them our own selves, that we just need to be reminded about the power that these words have, because the word is active and alive. And it is going to transform us because we conform ourselves to the word. I also thought of the scripture that says, now when it comes to, and I'll pose this question to Bishop Carver as well about fear being present when we trust God. And because in Psalms 56, he says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. Now, that goes back to being able to trust him with everything and with all your heart. Don't be half-hearted. To trust God, you can't be. You really can't. Or double-minded. So you have to know, okay, so in order to trust God, I have to, with my whole heart, I can't lean to my own understanding, which is kind of what Bishop Carver was talking about when he said renewing your mind. Don't lean to your own understanding. You won't be able to trust God, I tell you that. And you definitely won't be able to trust him with your whole heart. And even when you're afraid, you can make that decision and say, okay, despite what I see or hear or even what's going on in my head, I'm going to trust God right now. And sometimes the fear will subside. It won't be as intense, and it won't rule you or be an influence in your life. See, sometimes there's things around us that are meant to intimidate us, to make us feel fearful. But isn't, I'm going to ask this question with Bishop Carver again, isn't trust a place of stability? Remember the example of the chair?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Trust is a form of ability, because you realize that trusting God is an all or nothing proposition. See, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, God says, trust in me with all of your heart. Trust in God with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. And see, when we acknowledge God for who he truly is, God is spirit, meaning God is present everywhere. There is nowhere where God is not present. Then God is all powerful. And if you can't trust the God that's present everywhere and all powerful, then add to that the fact that God is all knowing. And those three qualities that make God God, he's all knowing, he's omniscient, he's all powerful, he's omnipotent, and he's present everywhere. He's omnipresent. Yeah. These are the three qualities that make God God. So think about it like this. Any of us, when we go to sit in a chair, we don't shake the chair before we sit on it. Many of us just sit on the chair. Now, if we did happen to lean on the chair or grab the back of the chair and it wobbled it a little bit, we might still not even think twice about sitting down on that chair. But many people, what they're doing in their life when they lean to their own understanding, when they serve money, when they please people, they are literally sitting on a chair with three legs that is leaned up against the wall, hoping and praying that it doesn't fall. And it's not the chair supporting them. It's the chair leaning up against the wall. But if you ever took that three-legged chair and pulled it away from the wall, it wouldn't stand. God is saying, look, I am the wall. If you lean against me, then you can stretch out as far as you possibly can, and you will not fall because I will not move. God's word will not move. God's promises will never change. God's presence is constant, and there is nothing that can supersede God. So look at what God says in his word to give us comfort in this. He says to us in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It's humility that allows us to trust in God. And that humility starts with us acknowledging that we don't know anything. We don't know anything except God's word is true. And we know about the death, burial, and resurrection of God's son, Jesus Christ, that makes all of the promises in God's word available to us. So it also makes me think of this verse in Isaiah 55:8-9, where God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And when we acknowledge this, then we truly humble ourselves, and we don't lean to our own understanding and try to dumb God down to our level. We simply say, yes, Lord, I trust you. Because trust in God is a form of worship. And what we learn to do is reconcile what we say and what we do to God's word so that what we say is consistent with God's word, what God's word says, what we do is consistent with what God's word says. And then what we'll find is the promises that God promises in his word are true when we say and do what God's word. Tell me, how has this benefited you in your life by example?
Well, it shows me where I'm not trusting God, and it shows me where you can't park out at one place where you were if you want to grow. So, for instance, we were having this conversation earlier about trusting God at different levels, and when you understand the word, then you can start applying it. So it really is key to understand the word so that your faith can grow, and then you trust in God in areas where he puts you. You trust not him just what he told you to do, but how he wants to do it. So there's details in trust that I even believe that there was the first lesson that was taught, we were talking about how Jesus sat down with them, I think this was in Matthew, and started to explain to them what was to be. And the level of their intimacy caused him to disclose all kinds of things he was going to. He went into detail. And I got a revelation that night that when I look back at the different things that God was telling me to trust him with, there were times when he would just give me just a little information. And then there were times when he would just wait on me to believe and trust what he said and just lean on it and trust him. And then he would disclose more and more and more. He would disclose more details. Well, biblically, there was an example of that when we read the last time we taught. And it let me know that the intimacy will create a place in you when God in worship where spirit and in truth, he'll be able to really disclose to you all kinds of things. And I realized that the example of my life has been when I know enough of the word, believe enough of what God has said, renew my mind to his word, and just stand on that no matter what it looks like. This is a condition and a discipline that has to be intentional. And when I don't do that, I know, okay, I already know where I went off the road, where I detoured. He said, you know, you don't trust my word. And I used to get offended when I would be in prayer. God would say, you don't trust me. And I'm like, yes, I do. I believe you. But I didn't know the difference. Confidently trusting God, you know, is also a place of true worship. And I think of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and how he was, you know, going through agonizing pain in his flesh about what his assignment was, knowing that he had to die, knowing the level of torture, you know, things that he was going to do. He understood the prophecy. And yet his body was still agonizing. But he said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. He already knew what his assignment was. He knew it ever since he was 12 years old. Doesn't mean that he didn't deal with fear. Everything that Jesus went through, we go through. So when we look at his example of trusting the one who gave him the assignment, that Garden of Gethsemane is one of those levels. And I think about how, you know, Jesus had an assignment that he was acquainted with and took seriously. So many of us, you know, that are trying to trust God at a new level, you better believe that every time it doesn't always get easier, does it, to trust God? It seems like it gets harder because what's coming next is different and harder.
It's a great example. And, you know, it makes me think of King David. King David was a man after God's own heart. And it's interesting how we think of that. But what that is literally saying is he is a man who was seeking after God's own heart. And see, the first commandment from God is to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment is like that, because then you have to love yourself and then love others, even up to your enemies, right? But see, the other thing that the Bible says is that perfect love casts out fear. There's no way for you to truly say you love God and then embrace fear as a regular part of your routine, of your mindset, of your immediate instantaneous reaction, right? And see, what we learn as we follow Jesus Christ and we follow the Word of God and we follow God and we trust God, what we learn is that God's promises never fail. And when we learn to wait on the Lord, he always delivers. He's gone before us. He is not going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we can endure. And with every temptation, he's going to make a way of escape. So we have to patiently wait and look for that way of escape. So look at what David says in Psalm 43:5. It says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." See, perfect love casts out fear. It doesn't mean that fear doesn't show up, because fiery darts from the devil show up all the time. There are thoughts that come into your mind all the time. The challenge is to not let those thoughts come out of your mouth. Do not let those thoughts guide your behavior. Learn how to renew your mind and patiently wait for the deliverance of the Lord. So then look at what it says in Deuteronomy 31:6. It says, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth before thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." See, when you believe God, when you believe what this says in God's word, it says, "Be strong and of a good courage." What that says to me is there's bad courage. Bad courage looks at a bad situation and fearfully goes through, holding on to the fear, not casting the fear out, and then taking it through. But you were afraid. You weren't getting God glory. You were getting what you needed to get through. And see, true love of God says it's not about me. And just as Jesus Christ said, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." It didn't stop him from asking for the cup to be removed. But when God said no, when God had no answer, then he said, "Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done." That's what we have to learn how to say as disciplined followers of Jesus Christ's example. Not our will, but God's will be done. So that we can be strong and be of a good courage, so that we can fear not, so that we are not afraid of them. Who are them? Them are those who set themselves against the purposes of God in our life, right? There is no time for pettiness when there is such purpose placed upon you. So now, the Lord thy God, he goeth before thee. He will not fail thee, nor will he forsake thee. See, we have to be about the business of getting God glory. And when we are, then we realize that trusting God is absolutely required. It's not optional. Embracing fear is not optional, because, see, you can't embrace fear and be of good courage. You have to let fear go. You have to cast fear out in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to rebuke that devil spirit, because that devil spirit is saying that there's a chance that the devil can win. The devil can only win if you don't believe. If you are not following the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the devil can win. But when you say no to the devil and rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, you cast that spirit out. It's connected to a demon. That demon is what steals your peace, steals your joy, steals your love, steals your gentleness, your meekness, your kindness, steals your patience and your faithfulness and your self-control, and makes it so that you don't live a fruitful Christian life, which is the whole point. God is trying to get glory out of you. God is trying to get heaven out of you so that people on earth can experience his hand through your obedience to him. So I want to hear what Pastor Carver has to say about the last time this happened for her. Pastor Carver, how God delivered you from fear.
Well, I think that fear is one of those things you can sense. There's a really good example and that we had 4 years ago. It'll be 4 years this year when my arm was basically severely damaged. I had cut two veins in my main artery, and I was, in surgery, and my husband was sitting next to me, and my whole arm was basically cut into. It looked like a horror scene, and I'm looking at that, and we're just speaking in tongues and just praying, and I'm in a lot of pain, and I was afraid that I was not going to either lose my arm or half of my arm, or I thought that I was just going to bleed out. And I didn't bleed out because it was so much blood. But God, you know, is a wonder, because he'll show you in the face of fear, he sends help because of what you're looking at. And when I faced that fear, and of course having my husband there and then praying, and he was just like, just, you know, renew your, we were looking at my whole arm split open. I mean, can you imagine that? And the fear that helps. But I just would feel, I felt immediate divine intervention over my mind, not just over my arm, but over my whole mind. Because as you know, the battlefield is in your mind. Those thoughts come. What if this? What if that? And they just left us in that room for almost over an hour before I even looked at, before a surgeon even looked at my arm. And didn't give me any pain meds. My blood pressure was going up. All kinds of things could have happened. But we just began to call on the name of the Lord. And just, you know, by the time we got out of surgery, you know, I went home the same day. God is a wonder. And that's facing fear. Just like we just read about, when fear is present, you decide to trust God. And the Lord, and I said, Lord, I trust you. And I was crying while I was doing it because I was so afraid. And he said, you will not lose your arm. And he just began to speak to me at that place of my fear. And when you trust God, despite what's going on around you, he'll start talking to you. Not only that, but you will feel the presence of messengers. You sometimes will feel into divine intervention. And at that time, I felt there was this angel that put a cloth over my whole body and was preserving me until I went into surgery and came out of surgery. Walked out of there, went and got my pain meds, and went to bed with my arm repaired. The surgeon did an amazing job. So God is with us even in those places. You just have to say, it's just like Bishop Carver said, I'm not going to, even though this fear is here, I'm going to decide to trust God. I know God, and he will begin to talk to you where you are. He dwells in the shelter. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And you will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, in God, in whom I trust. And that is a very common Psalms 91, verses 1 through 2. It's because when that fear comes there, you do feel, I know I did, I don't know about my husband, he probably has been in situations where he felt the calmness of God and over him. And then because we decided we're going to trust him no matter what it looks like.
Amen, Pastor Carver. And I'll tell you, that is a great example. Just for clarity, she did not cut her own arm. Her arm was cut by something she was washing, doing dishes, and this big glass bowl split in half was it an air fryer? Severed her arteries and nerves, and God restored all of it. And see, you have to understand that just because the devil attacks us doesn't mean that we give in to the devil's attacks. He is going to try, but he is going to fail. And when he fails, that's when God gets glory. But while we're going through the attack, how we go through matters. Because if we go through behaving as if we don't trust that God is going to bring us out, then we're not getting God the glory that he requires, because he's faithful. He says his plan for us is good. And so when we believe, when we agree with his word and we agree with him, then we are able to grow from grace to grace and faith to faith. I want to share this passage of scripture with you in Romans chapter 5, which is going to bless you. It says in verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith for our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. See, we have to understand that we have been given a divine privilege to prepare us for the next assignment, because the next assignment is always more severe than the last. So tribulation is God's way of reinforcing our character with more patience, more experience, and more hope, so that his love can be shed abroad in our hearts. And see, it's that perfect love that's shed abroad in our hearts that's developed through patience, experience, and hope that casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear, as it says in 1 John 4. So I want to share a couple verses with you that I think are going to bless you. One is in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's a question. And the answer is no one, absolutely no one. So if you go down to Romans 8, 35 to 37, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Or distress? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Or nakedness? No. Or peril? No. Or sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. We have to stand on that promise and be more than a conqueror. Being more than a conqueror means that you don't just endure, you patiently endure. It doesn't mean that you are courageous. It means you are of good courage. You confidently expect that God is going to give you the victory with no chance for failure. And see, it's that mindset that's going to get God glory. So I want Pastor Carver just to illuminate you about that for a moment.
These things are the reason why we trust God, because of his love, because of his steadfast love, because nothing separates us from his love. So when you're trying to trust something that you may not naturally be accustomed to trusting, or in a different place, because he has called you to a certain place, dealing with change, dealing with people you've never dealt with, whatever the case may be as we serve, the scenario can look very different from us. Think about the character of God. Think about, why would you trust him? Why not trust him, right? And sometimes I have to just take it at 101 and go to a place where I just remembered, like Bishop Carver just got done citing, the different characters of God, or the what it develops when we suffer. It's something that he orchestrates, right? And so when you trust him in that place where you don't want to be, and it's challenging, it's new, it's hard, or whatever the case may be, whatever adjective you want to use, you said, okay, first of all, I know God's steadfast love is there for me. I know he would never fail me. I know he would never leave me. I know. So you start to begin to meditate on the character of God. This is why it will help you, or really help you understand how it's important to trust him and why you should trust him. He's just good. He knows best. There are many scriptures that we can say if we just begin to expound upon the character of God, and then why he never loses, He never loses. And so if we trust him, we never lose as more than conquerors, remember? So I don't want you to overcomplicate deciding. I need to trust God more in 2024. And I just need to think about his character. For me, it's me reminding myself who he is versus who I am. When I begin to focus on who he is, then he reminds me of all the things are available to me because of who I am in him. But I got to know who he is first. And so this is when the word comes in play. This is when we decide to believe the word so that we can trust God more. Oh, for trust to trust him, or for hope or for faith to trust him more. There's a song I'm thinking of, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And you have to decide to wait patiently, to be of good courage. Like he said, these are the things that kind of help you see where you are in your trust. And then you can really see it in certain circumstances. You will see it, I promise you, that it is worship. Us in that room, pre-op room, before my arm was sewed up, was worshiping him. It felt like that at one point. Because it was like, God, if you don't do this, nobody else can and will. You can touch the hearts of the doctors, their hands and everything else. And we had just decided before we even went, and we were separated for a couple, 4 hours probably, while I was in surgery, emergency surgery, that was what God was going to do. And so I'm sure you may have some circumstances tonight where you know, I have not really been trusting God. And I don't know what it looks like. But see, God knows your weak points. He knows why you're not trusting him. He knows why you drew a line in the sand and why you said, okay, I trust you with this, but not with that. And so get in that place tonight. I encourage you to, in a peaceful place where you can begin to examine where you are in your level of trusting God.
As they used to say when I was a kid in church, let go and let God. So you are not going to do anything that God can't do. So give it to him. This is what God tells us in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. He says, fear thou not. That's a command. That's not a statement or a suggestion. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. See, not our righteousness, not what we think, not what we come up with. God is telling us not to fear. Fear thou not, and to acknowledge the fact that he is with us. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. See, we have to represent God appropriately by treating him as he is and not misrepresenting him. We need to be getting glory for God. And this is why. When we look at Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And see, many times we read past that article, the, but look at what it actually says. We usually say, them who are called according to God's purpose. But that's not what this verse says. This verse says, and we know that all things work together for good. What are all things? The good, the great, the bad, and the ugly. What makes this important? That we know. So you need to know Romans 8:28 to even walk into this. But it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we are the called according to God's purpose. Now you need to know, what is God's purpose? God's purpose is that he is going to dwell with his people and his people are going to dwell with him. We are ministers of reconciliation who are charged to reconcile the lost, those who were called before the foundations of the world to dwell with God as his beloved children. So now this is what he says to us in Psalm 55:22. He says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And Jesus Christ has made us to be the righteousness of God through his perfect blood that covered all of our sins. But look at what it says then about us, the righteous. in Psalm 34:19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Out of all of your afflictions, the Lord delivereth the righteous out of them all. That means you have to first believe that you are the righteous. You have to believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that was able to cover all of your sin. And you have to receive that so that you can know that you are the righteousness of God and he hears you, so that then you can walk into what it says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, which is that there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. So what happened to you is what happens to all men. Nothing new under the sun. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able to endure, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So God is not going to place more on you than you can bear, but is also going to make a way of escape as you experience life, just as everybody else is experiencing life, except you can be trusting God's faithfulness to honor his promise right here in his word. So Pastor Carver, continue to illuminate us about trusting God more.
All these things that we are sharing with you all tonight is in his word. And I pray that before I say my scripture is that you find your own journey in studying his word, and that it becomes something that you can't do without, so that God can talk to you at a level and draw you closer to him in this place to trust him for the things that we have to do. In Jeremiah, you know, many of the prophets always talked about trusting God. Of course, they didn't just they didn't just execute or declare judgment and gloom and doom, but they also talked about the character of God. And in Jeremiah 17, verses 7 through 8, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He said, he is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. He does not fear when he comes, for its leaves remain green. And it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Isn't that interesting? There's so many things going on in this scripture, because when a person decides to trust God, no matter what their surroundings are, no matter what culture says, no matter what society says, no matter who's the president or who's not the president, they flourish. Those who are planted by water in the desert still are green. And he said, even though there's a drought, they still bear fruit, because they put their trust in the Lord. He is the trust, whose trust is the Lord. Period. Nothing else. And so we all want to get to that place. We're not teaching this because we think we have it together. I know I don't. But I know that when I read these scriptures, it's reminding me the testimony and the people that did trust. It's always available to us. But you're blessed when you trust in the Lord. Did you ever stop to think about that? That you are blessed when you decide, I'm going to trust in God. I'm in a place where it's dry. I'm in a place where there's no productivity or fruitfulness. And it could be anything spiritually or naturally where you are. But nevertheless, God can cause you to be fruitful. God can cause you to flourish and to be developed, no matter where you are, because you trust in God. Have you ever heard of people being in a ministry or maybe even a job or career, and they're just waiting on God to move them out of this place? They're like Joseph. No matter where he went in places of bondage, there was favor on his life, and he grew. I think it starts with the decision. I'm going to trust God. You know, in this neighborhood I don't like to be in. I'm going to trust God in this financial situation I don't like to be in. I'm going to trust God even though I feel like I'm by myself. I'm going to trust God even though I decided to sacrifice in this area in my life. Even everybody told me I shouldn't, you know, and everything told me I shouldn't. But I'm going to trust God, and I am going to be fruitful. Read Jeremiah, because he proclaims it when he says, that they were fruitful in places of dryness and fruitful in places where there was a desert. It didn't matter. It had nothing to do with the five senses. It had nothing to do with the environment. It had more to do with the character of God. That's what I get from that scripture in Jeremiah, is that it had to do with the character of God more than it had to do with anything else, because he said, God is my trust, period. And a lot of these scriptures, if you take some time, like we did say about just exercising the word and reading the word for yourself, what you'll find is just meditate on it. He is the same God today. He has not changed. And his character remains the same. People change, but he does not. So when we read the scriptures and what he's saying and what those who served him say about him, it has not changed. And I want you to be encouraged tonight to understand how there are dividends. I like the word Bishop Carver used about trusting God. But there are things that God puts in your life to develop it. And what you'll find is this is another example, pure worship.
See, God's desire is for you to live a fruitful Christian life. For your Christian life, your relationship with him, for your walk with him to be profitable to you. And in order for it to be profitable, what you do, you have to do out of love. Love for God first, love for yourself next, and love for others thirdly. And when you do what you do for God out of love, and you love yourself the way you love God, and then you love others the way you love yourself, you will bear fruit. And what you do for God will be profitable, not just for you, but for the kingdom and for others who will be drawn into the kingdom. I think about the example that we follow, the example of our Lord and Savior, our Master Jesus, who said this to us in Mark 11, verses 22 to 24. Jesus Christ said, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." I'm going to stop there and read that again. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. See, when you trust in God, you're having faith in God as Jesus was commanding his disciples to do. And then he said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." See, we've been given the answer. Life is an open book test. You have to open this word of God if you are going to eat of the goodness of the things that God is making available to you so that you can truly experience God's faithfulness. Jesus Christ said, have faith in God. If he didn't say another thing, that would be enough. Look at what it says here in Luke chapter 12, verse 29 and 31. It says, "And seek not what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of those things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." God says, seek kingdom first. Seek his kingdom, and he'll give you all those things that the world is chasing after, worrying after. And look at what it says here in Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. It says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief." See, unbelief is what causes us to stagger at the promises of God. We have to learn to be consistent, steadfast, patiently waiting on the Lord, knowing that God promised to come through. God promised to meet all of our need. God says that he knows what we need before we even ask him. So when we believe that, then we shouldn't be begging him and sweating and pacing and pulling our hair out and all that nonsense. No, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You have to be fully persuaded that what God promised, God is able to perform. And then you have to be strong in faith, and you have to give glory to God. And what this tells me is when you're not strong in faith, you're not giving God glory, which tells me you're not loving God. And see, we have to step up our game so that we no longer stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. There's a verse in Hebrews that says, Lord, deliver me from my wicked heart of unbelief. We all have to contend with this so that tomorrow we wake up experiencing less doubt, worry, and fear than we did. And it's not that we are doing it of our own accord. See, fiery darts are fiery darts. They're sent to you. But see, the way that the shields used to be fitted back when people fought with arrows and spears and swords and whatnot, right? We do it differently these days. We have handguns and rifles and semi-automatic and automatic weaponry, and we do things differently. But back then, they had shields. And their shields would be covered with wet leather, big skins of leather that were wet. And the reason they were wet was so that when an arrow that was in tar and lit on fire came at you, it would be quenched. The fiery dart, the fiery arrow would be put out when it hit the wet leather of the shield. And so our shield of faith is that shield of believing that we are to carry with us everywhere so that we do not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. Our faith, we have to be strong in faith so that we can quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, of the devil, and we can give glory to God. See, we don't want to own those fiery darts as if they are ours, as if they came from us. No, they were shot at us by the enemy. And now we need to obey God and raise up our shield with wet leather on it that is going to receive and quench the fiery dart of the devil so that it does not impact our being, so that it doesn't get past our faith, right? And it's not going to get past our faith because our shield is wrapped in the leather, which is wet, and it is going to quench that fiery dart. Well, I just want to encourage each and every one of you to stand on God's promises, and I'm going to have Pastor Carver pray us out so that we can go to sleep tonight thanking God for all of his goodness to us today. Pastor Carver?
Father, we just thank you right now for your precious word that went forth. It is from you and your heart, your mind and your intent, and we just thank you and praise you and lift you up. I pray, Lord, for those who are listening tonight, even in the airways as it pertains to global influence and things, Lord, you've given us, Father God, that those who have heard your word through what we presented, they heard you and they beckoned your presence, Lord, in their life right now for peace, for understanding, for courage, for strength, for whatever they need tonight, Lord, to trust you in a new place where you have been calling them to worship. And it's not just what we do collectively when we sing songs and clap our hands and things like that and play instruments, that it becomes really what is in our character, things, Father God, that our spirit leads us to do, and we be in places of obedience and intimacy with you. We thank you, Lord, today for establishing what you're trying to build in us, trying to help us to trust you more because of who we represent. We represent you, but we can help other people. When we trust you, Father God, I truly believe when we serve you, there's an impartation and something that is exchanged. Even when we do our jobs in the natural, whatever our career is, wherever we are in the marketplace, Father God, I pray that we begin to trust you. And those who don't know you, Father God, if this teaching has drawn them to a place where they want to trust you because you never fail, and without you, Lord, we can do nothing, that they will begin to believe you, Lord, and confess their sins before you and begin to walk humbly before you, Lord, every step of the way, learning how to trust you. I truly thank you, Lord, today for sacrifice, for us, for many that are confronting that place where worship will be erected when there's sacrifice to trust you. that's really what it looks like, and understand that this is something that I get because God gets the glory, and there's something that I am able to gain. There's something that will make me better because I trusted God in this place. I pray, Lord, that that person will be able to have a true confession in their life, and we'll see much fruit. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, Pastor Carver. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, God's great love for us. Be ye transformed.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. There's a worship song that says this: our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weakened. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say. Lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice. Come on, somebody.
the valley.